This week, we're going to be talking about something you are not going to see on the front page of TechCrunch, nor is Rory Ketlin-Jones going to be doing Facebook Lives about it. It's where Pokemon Go meets disability. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, ouch, he's just bandwagon jumping on the subject that everybody's talking about this week, because this incredible gaming phenomenon has just hit the UK. But it is a thing. Disabled people play it a little bit differently, and there are different things to think about and talk about. On the line, we have visually impaired gamer Gemma Brown from Southampton. Hello, Gemma.
Hiya.
Hello, thanks for joining us. This is Inside Ouch. And with me also is Emma Tracy on the line from Edinburgh.
Hello.
And right in front of me, it's Kathleen Hawkins.
Hello.
Who is also a gamer, just like Gemma. Gemma and Kathleen, talk to each other about Pokemon Go, please, and explain to us exactly what this game is.
Well, you get a little avatar person who's like you, and then that little person appears on a map. And the idea is to walk around catching Pokemon and going to poke stops to like collect items to help you on your journey and to kind of collect as many Pokemon as you can. And also, like, you can kind of train them in gyms and have little battles with your friends and other people. Yeah,
so I downloaded it last night and I've not actually been to a Pokemon gym yet, but I saw there's one around the corner from where I live. Have you been to one yet, Gemma?
Well, you have to be level 5.
Yeah, I'm only level 2.
It does take, you know, a little while, particularly if you've got a physical disability, to get to level 5. Then you have to be kind of close enough to it to get it to work. So I have not been to a Pokemon gym yet.
So crucially, this is a game that isn't just on your mobile phone screen. Your phone, what is it? It sort of hooks up with the GPS so it can tell where you are. And you literally have to walk around your locale, don't you, to play this game. You have to do a bit of exercise. You have to go and find things in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did catch one on the bus this morning, though.
Yeah, and I've been doing that.
Just riding the buses.
Yeah.
And this walking, this physicality, as it were, is where the disability thing comes in a little bit, doesn't it? You have some problems getting some of these Pokemon. Do you want to explain that to me, Gemma?
Yeah, so I have problems with actually catching the Pokemon, as well as being blind. I have a physical disability called Ehlers-Danlos. And so, actually, the way you catch the little Pokemon is to throw Pokeballs at them. And you do that by flicking the screen. They use augmented reality to put your Pokemon into your environment using your phone's camera. But when I do that, the little Pokemon is able to kind of like move around quite a lot. And because my glasses have a sweet spot of where I can see and where I can't see, it's almost impossible to line up the Pokemon in the sweet spot of my glasses, have my phone so I can still see it, and physically be able to flick the ball to catch the Pokemon.
Ah, I see. Because they do move about quite a bit, don't they, once you see them on your screen?
Yeah, but I have found you can turn this feature off, and then they stay a lot more still.
But I love you turn off the bit that most people love. That's one of the big reasons why people download this thing, to see Pokemons literally in their, you know, in their local environment.
Yeah, it's turning off kind of the game's biggest feature, but just wasn't going to work for me.
But not only that, Gemma, but there's a problem with the user experience in terms of the menus and stuff like that as well for you.
Yeah, there is. The text and the font and the colour scheme that they have chosen means it's pretty much impossible to read the menus and things like your Pokédex and things like that. Oh. The font is really, really tiny and also like in poor contrast, so a lot of it is kind of like a pale blue and white, and a lot of the bits are kind of like pink and white text, and it's very, very difficult to like read any of that. I've, you know, been taking screenshots on my phone, going into the camera application, the photos application, and then blowing them up so I can actually read stuff, but that is a bit of a faff.
And what's a Pokédex?
Pokédex is where you see all the information about your Pokemon and which ones you've caught and all of those sorts of things.
So are you enjoying the game overall? It sounds like it might be more effort than it's worth for you.
Well, see, it's strangely addictive.
Yeah. Yeah, they've really done well with that element of success, trophies, achieving points, gathering in a team.
And I have kind of already started to find ways around things. So I mentioned I've got a physical disability. I can't walk very far.
Yeah, same.
So that trying to like run around a park or something to catch Pokemon isn't going to work, but I've discovered if I'm really quick, I can check in at the poke stops on the bus and get my poke balls and things like that, and I can still catch Pokemon on the bus.
I know. It is a race against time, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
I pressed one this morning and then we were gone. And it was so far behind us.
So poke stops. Are we saying poke or poker? Because there's a little hat over the top of the E in the middle, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
A cute. A pokey stop. Poke stops. So it's a whole other language we've got to get used to now. Everyone's going to be saying it all the time. It's going to be pokey this, pokey that. We used to see words with I and E at the beginning of them in the past. Now it's going to be poker, I can feel it. Let's get back to the lived reality of Pokemon, shall we, and Pokemon Go. I was talking to a colleague the other day who said that when he downloaded it, he was sitting there in a cafe. He just got himself a cup of coffee. He sat down and then, gosh darn it, what do you know, bad timing, he suddenly saw a Pokemon was outside in the street, and so he had to leave his coffee and run right out of there and lob some Pokeballs at the Pokemon to catch it. So that's the sort of reality.
It's so exciting, though, when you see one.
Of the game. But sometimes, Gemma, they might be in awkward places that disabled people can't kind of get to, or you might find a bit difficult. Is that's right, yeah?
Yeah, I've already had that. I have a guide dog who's fantastic, and I was literally opposite a poke stop. So there was a road between me and the poke stop, a very, very busy road, and I could, you know, see the monument that it was trying to get me to, and, you know, I'm incredibly close, but the way that it's set up on the game and the proximity of how close you have to be to the poke stop to actually activate it, I could not, from the other side of the road, activate it. And I really was not very far away. It wasn't like the widest road, and, you know, I'm not talking about a dual carriageway. It was just like a standard city street.
So you couldn't just cross the road?
Well, no, unfortunately that wasn't an option, because very busy road. So it would have been kind of like walking in the wrong direction.
So do we think that sighted, more able people might have just dipped across the road, you know, dodging through the cars? To get the Pokestop. And Pokestop is like a little thing where you can get things like Pokeballs. Is it just Pokeballs? Which are the things you have to throw at your Pokemon to capture?
You also get like other items and sometimes coins and things like that.
So they're like boxes, aren't they?
But there have been stories of people getting injured. They do give you a warning on it saying, be careful. Because like you say, people do. They dodge out in the roads to
but
run across
also,
and get
like, kind of. The warning is like for people kind of walking along looking at their phone. I can't do that. There's absolutely no way on earth. If I was walking along looking at my phone would have to be like up by my face, and my poor guide dog probably wouldn't know what was going on. And it's like there's absolutely no way I can do it and walk at the same time.
I spoke to a crutches user who's been playing it for a week very happily and has had no problems, Holly Lane. And Holly said that what she does is she walks along with her phone in her pocket, and apparently it vibrates when there's a Pokemon quite near. So she waits until it vibrates and then stops and takes it out and plays then. Is that something that would help you, or is that something you do already?
Not something I do already, just because I'm only ever going to look at my phone when I'm stationary, or kind of think about what my phone's doing when I'm stationary, because the rest of the time I've got to think about, you know, where my feet are being placed so I don't fall over, and what my guide dog's doing, and the traffic, and all of these things I've got to think about, and they're more important to my safety.
Do you know what? This is almost one of those podcasts where I feel we should have put a trigger warning at the top, as we do sometimes when we're discussing some things which might affect your mental health. All this stuff about Pokemon being there but not actually there, you know, in the real world, which is kind of linked in with this cyber world that you're in, it must play, I don't know, havoc with some people's brains. I was walking along in the corridor. We've been talking about Pokemon Go such a lot yesterday that I was walking along in the corridors of the hallowed BBC, and my dog suddenly stopped and seemed to be paying attention to something. And in my head immediately, I was thinking, oh, right, it might be Pikachu. And we had a comedian on the last monthly show, Harriet Dyer, who was great, who said that she sees, you know, hallucinations of animals and things like that in her everyday life anyway. I mean, this augmented reality thing is potentially troubling, but other people are saying it's really good for your mental health.
Yeah, because actually it places you in your environment, doesn't it? So for other mental health problems, people are saying that it's been the best thing for their depression for months, that it's actually managed to get them out of bed into the world for the first time in a long time.
Does this get you out of the house more, Gemma?
So, no. I've been very ill this week with my various conditions. So, I'm only doing kind of little trips very locally and sorts of, you know, the odd trip on the bus, that kind of thing, but really not walking any distance. But what I will say is that I have certainly read that this is giving people a reason to get out of bed, particularly those with mental health conditions like depression. And, you know, they're going out, they're walking, they're feeling great. I've even seen some people with physical health conditions that are chronic that have had the same effect. What's really, really interesting is because the GPS signal is really rubbish in my flat, because I live at the bottom of a hill, it quite often thinks I'm moving when I'm actually laying in bed. And because it thinks that I'm moving when I'm laying in bed, I'm able to catch Pokemon. So that's really interesting.
There are Facebook groups springing up, one called Pokemon Access, where disabled gamers are networking and mapping out accessible poke stops. So there's a bit of accessibility chat going on about Pokemon Go. Tweet us your experiences. How have you been getting on playing the game? Has it been good for you, bad for you? Do you feel like an outsider? Have you had no problems at all? Is it something you haven't even tried to download because of the accessibility chat that's gone before? I have just one more question for Kathleen and Gemma. Maybe you can have some thoughts on this. Diane Murray from Spoonie Living was wondering whether the game could be hooked up with Google Street View so people could do a virtual walk instead of actually having to go out and walk on the street. Would that work, do you think?
I think there would have to be limitations because, you know, with Google Street View, you could essentially go to, like, the other side of the world to kind of do that. I think there should be, like, limits so that, you know, able-bodied people and those that are able to walk, it does get them out and active and they're not just kind of sitting down. But I think there should be kind of an option, a setting, if you will, for to say, you know, I am less able to walk or something like that. And it should allow you to be able to move your own avatar, like, even if it's just within, say, a mile radius of where you are, that would be, like, really, really helpful.
Because as well, perhaps they could add in more Pokemon into that smaller area so yeah. you can catch them closer to you more easily.
The game is extremely young, so hopefully over time accessibility features will be built in more and more and more thought will be given to access.
Yeah, and you know, at the end of the day, it's a game. And there's gaming in accessibility is something that's quite interesting in the media at the moment. There's been quite a lot of coverage about having colourblind modes and all of these kinds of things to all kinds of different platforms. But at the end of the day, it's gaming, it's a hobby. Literally 30 seconds after I realised I couldn't actually get into the poke stop that I wanted to, I went to walk into a shop and was told that my guide dog wasn't allowed. Now, that's a far bigger issue than having font on a game that I can't read.
Well, at least you're not going to get sent away from a Pokemon gym, are you? For having a guide dog. And incidentally, the avatar that you choose of yourself, can you have put in a wheelchair or have crutches or something like that?
Oh, I really want an avatar guide dog, but no.
Not yet?
No. You can't even have, like, glasses or anything like that. It's very simple. It's just basically male or female, and you get about three options of their clothing and their hair and their skin colour, and that's kind of it.
Maybe that's coming next. Who knows? Well, Gemma, thank you ever so much for joining us. That was 101 in disability and Pokemon Go, and I'm sure it's going to change and develop over the months and years. There's so many things you could do with this platform, isn't there? It's incredible, really. This has been Inside Ouch. If you want to get in contact with us, you can email ouch@bbc.co.uk, tweet @bbcouch, and we're on Facebook. Kathleen, Emma, Gemma, thank you very much. We're back next Friday. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.